Blog Talk Radio.
I'm chilling on a dirt road, laid back, swerving like I'm George Jones. Smoke rolling out the window, and ice cold beer sitting in the console. Memory laid up in the headlights, it's got me reminiscing on the good times. I'm turning off a real life driving, that's right, I'm hitting easy street on mud tires. Back in the day, Potts Farm was a place to go. Load a truck up, hit the dirt road. Jump the barbed wire, spread the word. Light the bonfire and call the girls. King in the can and the Marlboro man. Jack and Jim were a few good men. Where you learn how to kiss and cuss and fight too. Better watch out for the boys in blue. And all this small town, he said, she said. Ain't it funny how rumors spread? Like I know something y'all don't know. And that talk is getting old. You better mind your business, man. Watch your mouth. Go out to knock that loud mouth out. I'm tired of talking, man. Y'all ain't listening. Them old dirt roads is what y'all live. I'm chilling on the dirt.
Hey, everybody, welcome to another night of Full Spectrum Radio. I was messing around. If anybody who normally listens is like, what the hell song is this? Just messing around with the song. I've been changing it up a little bit. So, fortunately, I was able to find it on the board to end it because we would have listened to Jason Aldean for 3 minutes and 49 seconds. So, but anyway, it's all worked out now. So, I do apologize for everybody who is listening right now, the guests who are calling in. It's Blog Talk decided to go ahead and change back to the old call-in number. So for everybody listening, 323-580-5703. I saw that with about 10 minutes left before I was able to actually get on. So anyway, hope everybody can work that out. And if you're calling in Skype, that should still be up on the board too. So anyway, now that all the little bugs are worked out, Dennis, how's it going?
Oh, just peachy. Hey, real quick, Rob, do me a favor. Make sure that Diane has the number, if you would, my brother. You know, they seem to, well, for whatever reason, Blog Talk plays with us from time to time and changes things up at last minute. But I'll tell you, man, tonight is going to be an incredible show between, you know, between Diane telling us about the tours that they're doing down there at Casadaga Hotel, and you know, Kim and Chris. Wow, man, I'm pumped for tonight. How about yourself, Matt?
Yeah, I'm definitely pumped, and I do have another special guest from Into the Darkness that I do with on Mondays. Brittany is with us. Brittany, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. So, how are things in sunny Florida?
Oh, you know, sunny. I'm pretty hot. I'm pretty disgusting and pretty humid, and, you know, bugs are everywhere. So, yeah, it's pretty good over here. How are you doing?
Just so you know.
I haven't talked to you since Monday.
Just so you know, this is not a demon growl. Yeah,
I
had to stretch the things.
I wouldn't recognize Dennis. Dennis Hawkins. I wouldn't recognize him.
Y'all just ain't right. Y'all just ain't right.
Hey,
for anybody that hasn't figured out, I'm a little bit of a southern boy, so. But hi, Brittany. It's nice to talk to you again, darling.
Hi. Now I can finally hear you, like, so perfectly, so. Now we can have, like, a straight communication without a robot. But I have to admit, it was pretty awesome.
So I should not talk like this again tonight.
That was so much fun. You guys gave me so much amusement. Oh, I'm not that kind of person to get amused very easily. So props for that. Had a very busy day because it was obviously school and papers are due, and I'm just like, where's my head? But I found it, so we're good.
I just saw Rob's post in chat. Diane is one
I'm working on it.
Okay. Yeah, I just didn't know if you had the chat up or you had Facebook up, Dennis. You normally like to stray away mentally onto Facebook during our shows, so.
On the
well,
Facebook.
I stray away mentally everywhere.
So,
doesn't matter on the program, I stray mentally. There's, well, I have ADD. It works for me.
Yeah, I think it would too.
Dennis, I got, and Brittany, I got a number that popped up. Let me see if it's hers. So chat amongst yourselves for a moment.
All right, sounds good.
Should be a 904 number, Matt. Make sure you take care of that one. If it is Diane, we definitely want to get her in here.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a 904 number. However, that's going to be awesome. So I haven't talked to you since last week. How you been?
Oh, I've been doing wonderful. See, the world, according to Trinity, understands attention deficit, ghost, or even, shiny object.
Hey,
what
yeah,
the
that's
hell
me.
Was that?
Exactly.
I'm good with all of that.
Right.
I know how exactly how that is. I mean, that would be really horrible. Like, I have to read a lot, and I read something, and then I get really into it, and then I'm like, you know what? F this, and I just, like, kind of stray away from it, go wash the dishes, and then walk around in a circle and kind of forget what I was doing and then go back to reading. So, yeah, I know how that is. Unfortunately, I have no excuse because I just don't want to read it. So I'm just going to blame it on the attention part. So you got to get it on lockdown.
I think my biggest issue is I desire knowledge so much. I started today. One of my Facebook friends posted this recommended books, and it comes from medicine.virginia.edu, which is University of Virginia School of Medicine. And it says recommended books. The following is a list of books on various aspects of psychical research, also known as parapsychology.
Yes, indeed.
That looks really interesting. So then I start looking through, and I see that they have tabs to give me psychical research in general on after-death communications, out-of-body experiences, and I'm like, oh, crap. Let's see. So then my first thing is, okay,
Dennis,
which books am I going to? Yes, sir.
Shut up. She's here.
Okay. Hi, Diane.
Hey, I was actually getting into this, okay?
Yeah. Okay. No, no, we'll get to a little bit later, but yeah, I'm going to bring her in right now, so.
Sounds good.
We'll get back to that.
Hi, Diane. How are you?
Hello. How are you? I'm doing well. We're down here in Jacksonville, Florida, Spirit Light. Looks like we've got some of our team members in your chat room right now. Everybody's real excited to be on your show.
Yeah, I see everybody in there. There's the one, obviously you and Rob, but I don't know who else
is. Lisa is from the UK. She's one of our members. And then we've got Nikki, who's a member in Jacksonville. And then we've got Maria, who's a member in Jacksonville. And so we've got that many people so far, and some people might be having a hard time getting into the chat room, but Lisa is staying up. It's 3 a.m. right now in the U.K., and she's staying up just to hear your show, so that's pretty exciting.
Well, thank you, Lisa, and thank you to everybody. I'm glad Diane was able to get the word out and plug it for the rest of the team for you guys, too. So what's what kind of stuff you got going on down there in Jacksonville?
Well, this is the deal. We have a really special group. We have mediums, and then we have science. So what we do is when we go to a paranormal case, whether residential or historical place, what we do is we go in, we're able to speak with the spirits that are there, and then our science team records and validates everything that we're doing. And so we have a tour this weekend. It's going to be down in Casadega. Casadega is the oldest spiritualist community in the country. It's located kind of near Daytona, and there's nothing there but psychics live there. And it's really crazy. It's a very, very, very haunted, one of the most haunted places in the country. And it's this little hotel. It's been there for, I guess, since 1923. And you can go in there and get psychic mediums, you know, readings, and they have constant classes going on if you want to develop yourself as a psychic and that sort of thing. The place is actually built on very special ground that has a vortex of energy there. It was picked for that reason because it actually strengthens your abilities. It actually strengthens the abilities of the spirits to manifest while you're there. So when you're there, there's stuff going on the whole time. Spirits are opening and closing doors. They're locking your door. You can't get in. They're turning the lights on and off. They're turning the water on and off. You can hear them talking. It's just the amount of energy down there is crazy. So what we're doing is we've got a paranormal tour. We're going to go in on Saturday, the first Saturday of every month. We're going in this Saturday between 9 and 11, and we're going to go ahead and investigate our rooms. And basically there's also a seance room that we're going to have a medium in doing messages to people, spirits that came with them on the tour. So it's going to be really exciting. And then after we're all done, we're going to go ahead and put together some videos to show you guys out there in the world what happened. While we're going to spend the night. We're in lockdown. We're spending the night, so it's going to be really exciting.
That's really cool. Brittany, have you ever been there?
No, I haven't. I have been to Jacksonville, though. And Sarah went to Green Cove Springs Jail for an event that we did.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we did that, too. We toured the jail, and that was really cool. I actually got choked in there. There was a guy upstairs in spirit, and he was kind of, you know, not very nice, and he started choking me, which doesn't happen very often, by the way. And I was like, stop that right now. We got some really cool videos on our Diane Spirit Light YouTube channel, and one of those is in that Green Cove jail. It's very active. There was a lot of murders that took place there. Even one of the sheriffs was murdered and dragged back there. And we got him to come through on our voice box. And after he came through, we took it down because there's a historian, as you know, that sits downstairs. And we came down and we said, these are the names we got. Who is it? And she said, oh, that was the sheriff that was murdered, and his body was dragged back to the jail. So that was way cool. That's only like 15, 20 minutes from our house. Casadega is more like an hour and a half south from us.
Yeah, it's pretty common to just like find some place in your neighborhood, isn't it? Like, you live in Florida. It's probably one of the most haunted states in like the country
even
the world. So
it is.
We're really lucky
in
that department.
We invite everybody to come down here. We've got St. Augustine, which is like about 45 minutes from us. It was founded in 1565. It's the oldest city in the country. And if you've ever watched Taps, if you remember when Brian used to be on there and they went to the lighthouse and they said that was like the best, most haunted place they'd ever been. And, you know, there was apparition that they caught staring down at them, and that freaked them out. It wasn't the Dude Run show, but it was close enough. It was a good one. So there's just so much to do down here. We invite all of our friends out in the paranormal world anywhere to please come down and visit. Hey, if you just want to come down and thaw out because it's warm down here, we welcome you. We'll show you around. We'll take you to the most haunted places and have a great time.
Sounds great. Actually, one of my friends, George Lopez, I don't know if you know him, he went to the St. Augustine Lighthouse. He caught the exact same thing that they caught.
That's so cool.
I mean, it made me like have chills up and down my spine because it didn't seem exactly what they did, but it was so close to it, if not probably more than what they caught. And what kind of freaked me out was that it was so much like similar, and I couldn't believe that because it's an amazing piece of evidence what they caught.
It validates it. You get more than one group that gets the same evidence. And I just went down there not too long ago, and there's a little girl who passed away down there, drowned at the lighthouse, and her doll is in this case. And a lot of people freak out about dolls anyway. They think they're creepy. And her doll's in this case, and I took a picture of the doll, and I invited the little girl to come and stand beside her doll, and I got the craziest picture. You'll have to go on our Spirit Light Facebook page, and I'll repost it near the top because it's probably near the bottom now. But you can see, like, a little girl's hair, back of her hair, braided, standing there looking at her doll, and the doll's, like, looking back at her, and it's like people are going, they're all creeped out. but it was just a really cool picture, and I was like, whoa. At the same time, because my K2 was going crazy, I had my voice box going, and they were talking to me. We get them talking and telling us all kinds of stuff, and And it's great. We're excited about this tour because, I mean, every single room is haunted. The entire place is haunted. Then they have a downstairs and they have an upstairs. The whole place is just unbelievably haunted, and the spirits are welcome there. So they run the place. They do whatever they want. You know, it's amazing. And you have all these mediums there, too. And so that brings in a lot of spirits because they know they have somebody to talk to them. So it's really exciting. I hope that you guys can get down sometime and do the tour. It would be so much fun.
Oh, for sure.
Definitely. I'll try. Well, I'm a local Floridian, so maybe one day. You never know.
Where do you live now?
I live in Tampa.
You're in Tampa?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have that far to come. You could just drive up. I mean, it's not that far from Orlando.
It's really not, no. And, like, I also went to Ocala National Forest, which that was actually probably closer than Jacksonville. I can't really remember how far Jacksonville was, but it felt like we drove forever. So that's usually how it is.
Nikki just said in the chat room she hopes nothing touches her while she's sleeping. Well, I can promise you, Nikki, they will be touching you while you're sleeping. They will touch you the whole time you're there. They will lock you out of your room. They will turn the entire power off for the entire building if you say anything about being scared of the dark, because that happened when we were there. And, oh, by the way, the staff leaves at nighttime. The staff does not stay. So you're in that hotel. It's you and whoever else is staying there. And we're going to have our equipment running all night. We're going to have a FLIR going and all of our cameras, full spectrum and everything, infrared going in the whole hotel. But we've had the craziest stuff happen. I mean, they don't just do little stuff. They don't just do, like, little mischievous stuff. It's crazy. I talked to the hotel owner. I called her a few days ago. I said, how are things going? And she said, well, she got a new maintenance man, and she told him there are spirits there, and that if he wants to do anything, he has to be respectful and ask him if it's okay to work on stuff. And he's like, yeah, right, whatever, I don't believe in stuff. So he got on there, got down there to work on something, and all of a sudden the water went out for the whole place. And he was like, whoa, what happened? She's like, I told you, didn't I? And he's like, oh, my God. So there's some people that come in there that don't expect it. You know, it's pretty crazy. There's a lot of children spirits in there, too. And the children spirits, you can hear them singing. You can hear them talking. There's a cat who haunts the place that you can hear the cat. I've had ghost pictures of the cat. And you can see footprints where the cat has walked. You know, like little footprints. It's crazy. But there's no cat in there. You'll hear this cat going down the hallway, but there's no cat.
Oh, I love kitties. That would be the cutest haunting ever.
It is. It's amazing. And they have, like, all these metaphysical shops all the way all around it, so there's all kinds of crystals and stuff you can buy. And it's just a really cool place. You just, like, park and you just walk. And you walk around, you know, to the different shops and everything. And everybody there is, you know, believes in this stuff, and they're all excited, and they're, you know, they're all psychic, and it's just really great.
That's really nice. Hey, Brittany.
Do you go to the PIA conference, the para conference down in Sebring?
Was there one recently, or is it soon?
It's every year in July. It's the last weekend in July, and all the paranormal groups from Florida and Georgia go down there. And it's a haunted place, and we stay there all weekend. And they have, like, a lot of speakers and seminars throughout the day. But the rest of the time, you know, we're doing investigations at night, and all of us get together with all of our equipment from everywhere. And tour and investigate. And last year we got to do the basement. That was pretty crazy. So we captured a lot of stuff down there. But it's just a really fun weekend because everybody is walking around and is there for paranormal reasons, and everybody just hangs out. So you might want to Google PIA and just look at the video. I'll probably put something else on our Spirit Light Facebook page about it. But it's a great time. It's a lot of fun, and it's not expensive. It's like $15 to get in, and you get to do whatever you want the whole weekend. And that gets you into any of the seminars from any of the experts. They have all kinds of equipment on display down there, and it's just south of Orlando. And they have Bigfoot, and they have UFO, and they have other stuff too. So it's a pretty wide range of stuff that they have going on.
Yeah, actually probably have heard of that before, but usually I'm never here in the summer because I try to escape the heat and I leave. So I've definitely heard of it. So maybe this summer I'll go. So
well, it's very haunted. It's very haunted. So it's a lot of fun to, you know, have a paranormal conference in a haunted place. It kind of looks, it's big. It's like a really big place, but it's a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that everybody will come with our group because then we get to hang out. And they do have a bar in there, and they do have, you know, different types of contests and karaoke and just silly stuff too.
Oh, did you say bar? Oh.
Yeah, they have a bar. They have a swimming pool, and then they make drinks.
Okay,
like, they had a full bar set last year. I was like, whoa. It was pretty crazy. People were having a good time and just walk around talking about, like, the craziest thing that ever happened to them and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like a lot of fun.
Yep.
Let me interrupt real quick, ladies. Why Lies Beyond Us is in our chat room. And
okay.
That would be Tim and Chris, and they're trying to get dialed in. They're supposed to be, like, our primary guest tonight.
Of course.
So now we're trying to figure out, Tim and Chris, please do not give up. We are trying to figure out what's happening with the board, and we will get you in just as soon as we can.
Diane, the spirit. Whenever you get a lot of spirits together, you have electrical problems. I mean, that's a given. So we have to tell the spirits to leave the lines alone so they could get through.
Well, they also gave me a fair warning that they're taking part in the, like, we have a front moving through that is hitting Virginia.
That's right. That's right.
They're telling me that we're supposed to be pushing 40 to 50 mile an hour winds tonight.
Hey.
They're on that same line. So,
oh, wow.
But I'm not real sure where the Blog Talk Radio network is out of. It keeps showing up on, like, my caller ID from somewhere around Florida.
Mm.
But just so you folks know, we do have a fantastic show. We're going to keep Diane with us as long as we need to, as long as you're good with that. And
yes, of
until
course.
Until we can get Kim and Chris in with us, you know, they've got some fantastic information to share with us. You know, they have Morrison Lodge that they're due to go investigate in April. That should be fantastic.
That does sound cool. There's so many places out there that we want to do. We have done the Myrtles. That was an interesting night. You know, we've been to New Orleans. We've done all that. Went up to Charleston recently, did that. We like to go up to Jekyll Island and St. Simon's up in Georgia. There's some ruins up there, like a ruined burned-out house that's kind of Blair Witch-looking in the woods. That's really, really cool. And we have all that on video. Of course, we have a huge YouTube channel. But we liked it in St. Augustine because it's just, you go down there, there's ghost tours everywhere going on. They're all, like, walking around, people dressed like pirates and colonial people, and they've all got these lights, and they're walking down cobblestone streets, and there's 20 to 30 people with them, and it's just going all night long, everywhere you look, just ghost tours, ghost tours, ghost tours. And everywhere you walk, there's people buried because the whole place had a yellow fever epidemic, so they buried people everywhere. There's the cemeteries you can see, and there's the cemeteries you're walking on. So there's spirits pretty much everywhere in St. Augustine. We've never been to the fort without having a paranormal experience, and the fort is also, the Ghost Adventures crew has been there, which is our affiliate, and if you probably saw them go down there and lock themselves in to the fort that night. There is a reported story that back in the day when they, I guess one of the military guys that was high ranking there, his wife had an affair on him, and so he walled her and the other guy in to, actually walled him in to a smaller room down in the fort, and they found bones or whatever in there is what they were saying, and so they locked themselves down into that room, and that's pretty crazy. But we've had a lot of experiences. Like I said, we talked to them, and when we were actually going into a place called Miss Caroline's, and there was a little girl spirit in there, and we were having her interact with us, and she was playing with us, you know, with trigger objects, and she was, like, spinning a top for us and stuff like that, and that's how we ended up going on My Ghost Story, because they saw it on our YouTube, and they invited us, they flew us out to L.A. That was a lot of fun. It was crazy out in L.A. It was a really, really good time, but typically we go in and we get our science people in line first. They go in and they set up all of our equipment. And then the select mediums in the group, we walk in and we just start feeling where we're being pulled to, where are the spirits at, what are they trying to tell us. And sometimes they'll, like the last case we went to was the craziest house in the woods. And literally they had cut trees down to build the teeniest little road that you could get through to get to this house. And it was built up on, like, stilts. And it was like a triangular-looking house. And we went in there, and we couldn't even get out of the car. We barely had the camera going. Our voice boxes were going off. And they were talking to us. We couldn't even get in the house before the spirits were interacting with us. And apparently there had been... it said on the voice box, on our PX device, mommy, and then it said burned. And apparently they had gotten burned in their house there, and the little girl's spirit was trying to tell us what had happened to her. And our temperature started going crazy and spiked really, really high. It went, I think, all the way up to 147 degrees, and it was just going. It's like they were reenacting what had happened to them so they could explain to us what had happened. It was crazy.
Well, now, I just saw in the chat room where somebody had posted about Ashmore Estates, which is pretty much in our heartlands. Seeing Ashmore Estates, which has been around since the mid to latter 1800s, depends on which portion of the location.
Yeah.
Just seeing it, devastated by storms. I mean, how many countless hundreds of storms have been through there?
Yeah.
Well, that's definitely, and that's one of the things that scares me about our history. You have so many places down around Florida and all of the East Coast. They have so much history that we haven't yet discovered, that all of a sudden they're being destroyed by storms and so much. It kind of makes you wonder, is there a reason? Is there,
With the Mayan prophecies, a lot of people said, oh, the world was supposed to end. And I said, no, I feel like the world was supposed to just change as we know it. And I think that, includes a lot of crazy weather patterns and a lot of changes for all of us. And I feel like a lot of us have seen that already in 2013.
Well, now granted, what was it, 8, 10, 12 years ago, we had the global warming that,
Right.
So it's so recent. Yeah, right. I believe it's called the Earth has a cyclical realm to it. I mean, the Earth itself does it. So,
it's just it's a spiritual thing that's going on, too, because a lot of people feel like the world is coming, it's changing its vibratory rate, and it's raising in its vibratory rate so that more people are able to use their spiritual gifts, and a lot of the spirits are able to communicate easier because it's like the two worlds are kind of meshing together. They're not as far apart as they used to be. Some things are changing, and that's why we're able to communicate more with them than ever before, and we're having more and more paranormal events and experiences and activity than ever before.
Yeah, and, I just saw in the room that, somebody said, where are the spirits going to go? Well, they're connected to the land. I don't think the building so much is...
I think you're right.
What they're,
it's more the
what they're magnetized to, what they're drawn to.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to throw this out in the chat, and it's going to take me on because I'm a little slow. Kim and Chris, do me a favor. Check out the chat, and I'm going to throw off a number in there. See what you can do with that. Hopefully we can get you two called in. I'll tell you, Chris has got some amazing stories. Just listening to this man's life and looking at his bio and everything. And Diane, please, I'm not trying to cut you short.
Oh, I know. I'm just supposed to be here for 15 minutes. I understand that we're going to have my show next week, so that's no problem. And then I'll be telling you how the tour went, so that'll be exciting. because we will have had it by then.
Apparently,
it'd be awesome.
I know. I sincerely apologize, and I look forward to next week, and because I have a lot of
Me
questions
too.
And a lot of comments for you, and I just
awesome.
All these damn technical difficulties.
yeah, we have this too. We've done some other shows, and it happens to everybody. It's just normal.
Yeah. Well, what happened is some people can see the Skype icon and some can't. So that's where the confusion is coming in, because Dennis can see it. Rob can't see it. So
yeah, Rob's our tech guy.
But I will say
that. He's really good at that stuff.
And they made it in. So
yay! Welcome.
But I will say this. Even in the midst of all the turmoil, we've had a great show so far, and we're only 30 minutes in, folks. Think what the next hour and 30 minutes is going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and
it
can only go up here.
Brittany's only with us. She has girls' night tonight, so.
Woo! Go, Brittany!
Karaoke! Yay! They're going to drag me to karaoke. The one night that I don't have to do any more papers, I get to, like, just relax and, like, have a good one because I already finished, so relaxing. Oh,
well, it's awesome talking to you. It's awesome meeting you guys, you know, like this. I mean, we talk on Facebook all the time, but it's really cool to talk, you know, actually hear your voices and stuff. It's neat.
And I'm kind of glad to, like, meet some Floridians, really. So maybe I'll run into you guys one time.
Yeah, just take a look on our Spirit Light Facebook page and see some of the stuff we're doing. We have a lot of people from around the world. We do mediumship readings on there, and we get a lot of like missing person cases, and just anybody at all that wants a reading just writes into us. They send us a picture, and we give them readings on there. So we have people from all around the world doing that, and some of our mediums are from around the world. So it's kind of interesting. And then we also have our paranormal videos on there too. So it suits both ends of things, science and spiritual. And we also have an animal rescue page, too. We do animal rescue, which is kind of interesting. We do animal rescue with animals that are getting ready to be put down. People send me their pictures, and I put them up so that maybe, you know, somebody somewhere can adopt one, save a life type of thing, too. So check that one out, too, if you want.
That's definitely something we'll dive into a lot more next week, because I do a lot of remote versions of that. I don't physically, you know, take them or run a site, but I work with a lot of different community run shelters and stuff in the city that are kill that transfer over to no kill. So I definitely want to touch on that. So, but yeah, next week I'm really, really looking forward to it.
I am too. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun. And like I said, we'll get a chance to tell you, because I have no idea right now what the spirits are going to do this weekend with a whole group of people begging them to manifest and to do some stuff and asking them to do it live on camera. So we're going to see what they're going to do. There's no telling, but we might have some exciting stories for you next week.
Yeah. So, and definitely, yes, everybody who is logged on, check out next week. We're going to have the full time. I will actually be able to be involved instead of watching my hair turn gray as I'm trying to figure out how it happened. But Rob apparently came to the rescue, so thank you, Rob.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah,
that's right, man. I enjoyed watching my hair turn gray and the wrinkles grow on my face as we try to figure out the technical difficulties. But next week we will have Diane back with us on a full guest episode. But I really have to be the bad guy, because Matt is such a sweetheart. But Diane, please, by all means, we will be in touch between now and then.
Okay, I look forward to it. You guys have a great rest of your show. And thanks for inviting me. And nice talking to you, too.
You're certainly welcome.
I think next week I'll join you guys.
I would love that.
Brittany, you're more than welcome anytime you want. I mean, I, you know, basically, if we do your show Monday and then we do this show,
we
don't have
Brittany, I certainly enjoy hearing your voice a lot more than Matt's.
All right, guys. Well, y'all have fun, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Diane.
All right, have a good
Diane.
Night.
Thank
Bye,
you,
guys.
Darling. Been
Bye.
A pleasure. Very much.
Bye.
Bye now. Chris and Kim, are you with us?
I'm switching over right now, and I'm getting that little spinny little thing. Okay, no.
That would be
there
the
we go. You guys, Chris,
we'll
Kim, you guys finally made
there.
It?
Yeah, we're
yes,
here.
Yes, we're here.
Oh, thanks.
Yay!
There wasn't a Skype button earlier. We couldn't call in on Skype.
Oh, I literally was like, Frank, I'm still actually sweating a little bit because I'm figured out. Some people could see it and some people couldn't. And like last show we had it, but it was a different call-in number. Now it went back to the old call-in number and the Skype thing was gone. I'm like,
what's
really?
What's the deal?
Well, we got it fixed. If I can start this out right, all those in favor that are happy now that Chris and Kim have joined us, please take a shot.
I'll be right back. Does that count?
I'm sure you'll take care of that at karaoke.
You're very aware of this.
That's my demand. Once you get to karaoke, you have to do a shot for the happiness.
Trust me, you don't need to pull my arm. I will.
Good Lord, I've never seen so many technical difficulties in one program.
Well, we were having a hard time with our headphones. What's going on here tonight?
Yeah, we had the jack, everything plugged in, and we could still hear through the speakers. The headphones weren't working. And then all of a sudden, they worked again.
Yeah.
It must be all the storms. It must be, because all the energy is really, really messing with the balance in our atmosphere or something.
Weren't y'all talking about the sun and its cycle earlier? Or was that someone else?
I was
listening to a show, and they were talking about the sun and the Mayan calendar.
No, we haven't mentioned that yet, but I'm sure we
What show were we listening to?
No, Diane mentioned it. You've lost your mind.
Well,
I was
waiting to come on here, and I thought it was this show.
No, it was the show before you, I think.
Was it?
Okay.
I don't know. We had so much technical difficulty, I couldn't tell who was on.
Chris, the moment that you mentioned that you had your headphones on and everything, but you could still hear it through the speakers but not through the headphones, dude, you freaked me out because I plugged my headphones in into my phone and my laptop was still playing audio and it's muted. And I'm going, okay.
Wow.
What the hell? I'm not even plugged into that. Yeah, so it's got to be the energy. But
yeah.
Hey, Chris and Kim, welcome. We're grateful that you can join us tonight, finally.
Oh, it's great to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, we wanted to be on a couple months ago, but it just didn't work out. So now we finally got to join you, and then we're excited.
Well, the funny thing about it not working out last time was
mm-hmm.
because we couldn't figure out Skype. it has to be you guys, I swear.
Well, the thing is, if it was just one of us, it'd be a little easier, but since we both want to talk at the same time and back and forth, it's kind of hard to do it, you know, if we're in separate rooms or, you know, if we're not together on Skype. So, and we definitely can't sit there with one cell phone back and forth. So, you know, it's just easier.
Rob likes your accent.
Oh, well, thank you, Rob.
What accent do you have? Yeah, we're actually all Southern people. I grew up in Houston, Ohio to Virginia, Brittany in Florida. I'm just the one way the hell up in Chicago.
I'm from Hawaii, so you forget about that.
Oh,
yeah.
Hawaii.
But you
I'm
all live south of the Mason Dixon now.
Yes, we do. Indeed. Actually, I just hate the heat, so what are you going to do about it? What, you're so, like, rubbing it in my face that you have nice snow and all this good stuff? Yeah, keep rubbing it in my face. Seriously.
Well, actually, we're like, halfway down the East Coast, so we really don't have that much.
It was warm today.
Yeah, we actually got 70 today. It was nice.
Isn't it weird? It's the middle of, like, winter.
I know.
What happened?
Well, we're getting ready to
just
have
wait, it'll change.
Band of storms that are coming through. It's supposed to be a bunch of cold weather after that, so. Bummer.
I just want to pop in and get, Dennis, you know this is going to happen at some point, your weekly Chicago weather report. Yesterday, it was 64 degrees, had some rain, you know, some heavy rain throughout yesterday afternoon and into last night. Today, when I left for work at 8:30 in the morning, it was still like 48, 49 degrees. It still wasn't too bad. Right now, it's 13. So we
what?
Went from 64 to 13 between yesterday and today.
Now, that would make me think I was back in Iraq.
Yeah.
When temperatures drop like that.
Yeah, you said it was cold at night.
The high on Friday is 10.
Oh, my. No, I just couldn't deal with that. I'm so petite, and I just do not retain a lot of heat. I would be like a little popsicle.
Hey, Matt, I hate to really bust your bubble, but I'm sitting here now with my storm doors front and rear open, and I'm in a T-shirt, and my heat turned off.
Shut up, Dennis.
And I was rolling yesterday with all the windows down and the stereo cranked up, and it was 75 plus. So
hey,
how's that stove working out for you, buddy?
64, I had the windows down in the Jeep yesterday, so shut up.
I tried to ride my motorcycle yesterday, but it was out of gas.
Yeah, mine's sitting all buttoned up on a battery tender and all stabilized, and it sucks.
I walked class and I was sweating. That's how my day went. It's too hot down here. You guys are complaining about, like, decently lovely weather. I am so jealous. To not sweat and to have your clothes not stick to your body, that is the best feeling in the world. I don't know of it. I haven't known of it for a while because it's like Florida. So literally it's
killing
me.
You
want to
switch?
So. Yes, I would love to.
I will switch you. No problem.
All right.
But anyway, I know, Brittany, you're running a little bit short on time and because you got to go do some singing and some drinking. But
yep.
Anyway.
And not necessarily in that order.
In that order.
If only you knew. If only you knew.
And
my experience
singing
of falling off a stage. If only you knew.
So,
now,
I'm still
recovering.
Brittany, when Garth Brooks comes on with Friends in Low Places, do me a favor and sing that one to I Got Friends at That Table. And then y'all have to toast tequila because that was the last and only time that I've ever done karaoke. After that, nobody would even challenge me to get up on the stage.
Oh, that's either really good or really bad. Either you really were good or you sucked. It's only that. It only
goes
both ways.
I really sucked. I'm not
going
to lie. I sucked.
And knowing that song the way I do with how many times he says friends in low places, and if you switch it to friends at that table and they have to do a shot every time you say that, they probably don't even remember you singing. So
I vividly remember me singing, but some asshole decided that video was okay that night. So, yeah. Yeah. I got friends at that table. Yeah. It didn't go well.
I have been told, however, though, the fact that I fell off a stage in heels and I had, like, four people swarm to go get me, and they remembered me the next day, and they said, you know what, it wouldn't have been a performance had you not gotten back up on the stage after you fell off and finished the song. I was like, thank you. Thank you. I am a performer, so. I mean, I seriously don't remember it, and my ankle still hurts, but still.
We didn't really need that.
Was it a metal song? Yeah.
Yes, it was. That's why I was leaning a little bit too forward, and I had, you do the math.
See, being a metal song, that's just hardcore, so you had to get back up.
I know, I really had to. I couldn't, I was like, no, get away from me. Let me just do my own thing. Like, pretty cool. So, yes, I like metal. Yes, I like falling off stage. No, it's not exactly pleasant.
You probably
my
don't like the landing part. You don't like the landing part.
I don't even remember that part. I know that I was on the floor, but I don't remember how I got there. I know that I fell, but I don't know. It's a blur. It's a big blur. That's what friends are for. They remind you of what happened the next day.
It was gravity that put you there, just in case you were really
yes.
wondering.
You know, that works very well with me these days. I have to agree.
See, I have to say, no matter how much I drink, the alcohol is not the problem. Gravity just hates me.
Well, you know, in 50 years, I'm sure it'll show up on me. So I think we discussed this on my last show. So I think Matt remembers.
Yes. yes, I do.
I'll
okay,
leave it at
so,
that.
All right.
And with that, I have to go. And it was, like, nice talking to all of you. I'm going to leave you on that note.
Brittany, you have a safe night, darling. Make sure that you have a designated driver. Do not drive after you've drank.
Indeed. You know what? You're a very responsible man for saying that. I appreciate that. And no, I will not
friends
be driving because I'm not like that.
Friends,
too lazy.
Well, friends do not let friends drive drunk, and friends do not let friends drive Fords. So.
Oh,
and
oh
let the,
burn.
And let the bashing begin.
Burn.
No,
burn.
I agree. Friends
that was a low blow, man.
hey, Brittany, just in case you need one, Rob says he'll be your driver.
All right, that sounds good. I don't know where Rob is, but come here, Rob. We can have some fun.
But,
not in that
hey,
way. Okay, wait, that sounded really bad. I'm sorry.
All right.
You can be the one that catches me when I fall. How romantic. Oh.
All right. Well, now, Brittany, thank you so much for joining us, darling. It was great
Thanks.
To have you. Go have a blast. But always remember, safety first. Pick a designated driver. And we hope to talk to you next time around.
All right. Now you're scaring me, but I'll be fine.
No, I think he's talking about next show, not that. Something's going to happen.
All right.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now we have to take over. Poor Kim and Chris have been sitting back there just laughing at us being dumbasses. But we have to get to them.
Yeah. So, Brittany, have a good night. Have fun. And I will talk to you on Monday, if not before.
On Monday, into the darkness. All right. Have a good night, guys.
Good
night.
Bye. Thank you, darling. Be safe.
Yeah. Into the Darkness is Brittany's show. It's on Monday nights at the same time, same network. And I've been doing the show with her. So that's been a lot of fun, too. But, okay.
Well,
so Chris and Kim, tell us a little bit about yourselves.
Chris, I'm sorry. Well, Chris and I was going to say. Go ahead. Okay.
I was trying to get them to talk, and you're interrupting them.
And we have set a record.
Yep. So what
oh,
is the question? So
go ahead.
Okay. Well, basically, Chris and I, you know, we have been together about 3.5 years now, and he has been haunted since he was a child. So when we got together, it became my situation as well. So we have had plenty of experiences together in addition to the experiences he had before we got together.
Yeah, it just seemed like every house I was in growing up was haunted. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing actually my first apparition around the age of 5, and I've seen a few more. Well, quite a few more since then. And I actually saw my first, I don't know how you would describe it, but I mean, shadow person. I actually last year pretty much ran into one face to face, and that removed my any kind of doubts on the shadow person. But yeah, so grew up and had spirits all around, and couldn't really talk about it because of, you know, the time period, 70s, and it wasn't quite as open, and we live in North Carolina, so Bible Belt, you know. And I don't know, but it sparked a fascination in me, and I started studying the paranormal and mythologies and it just anything even remotely involved with it. And it's been a passion ever since. And when I met Kim, I found out that she was extremely interested as well. And we spent a lot of time discussing it, and we had all these great ideas and plans, and we're like, you know what, let's just start a group. And I was like, well, you know, I've had this idea for one, and she helped me make it a reality.
That's really cool. So Kim, you were actually in the paranormal before. It wasn't a situation where you guys got together, and then because of that, you got interested in the paranormal.
Well, I was interested separately beforehand. Now, I wasn't actually an investigator prior to getting together with him, but I had done my own research in a different way. I actually, I saw my dad pass away, and that was like 17 years ago. And when he passed away, I actually saw him. He had been in a coma for 6 hours, and when he died, he actually woke up for just a second, and he actually made a regular smile like he normally did. He looked up, and he was gone. And, you know, from then on, I was just wanting to, you know, look into understanding it some more. And so I actually got my master's degree in biblical studies. And, you know, so that was kind of my beginning of that. Now, when I met Chris, I was actually into the paranormal shows and that sort of thing. You know, I had done some of my own research, and, you know, I was very interested in it already. But then Chris, when I met him, we had been dated for, probably about a month or so. And he says, well, I have something I got to tell you. And
I had to tell her that I was haunted, that ever since I was about 5 years old, there had been all kinds of stuff that went on. Now, I'll give you a brief rundown. From about 5 to 10 years old, I grew up in a military family. I was born at Fort Bragg, and I grew up with a regimented lifestyle. And every night before I went to bed, the room was cleaned up, all the toys were put away, homework done, all that good stuff. Now, in the middle of the night, I heard all this stuff in my room, and the toy boxes would empty themselves, dump out on the floor. My closet door opened and clothes would fall out of the closet. I got next to no sleep for many years, and I would always have to like get up extra early in the morning and put everything away before my parents came in there and saw, you know, the room. And like, you're supposed to clean it up before you go to bed. Well, how do I explain to them? You know, maybe I sleep play? I don't know. But it actually got so bad, and I related in my room. We had some, you know, window with some curtains, and the shadows that they cast on the ceiling, to my child's mind, looked like Fred and Barney from the cartoon. And I was just staring at those shadows, and they began to talk. Now, other voices joined in, and there was all kind of like a murmur of voices, and I could never make out what they were saying. Now, I know, you know, I always had this, when I was a kid, had this fear that it was a mental illness, and that's why I never told anyone. But my little brother slept in the same room, and he talked in his sleep, and he used to try to answer them. So that told me that he heard them too. And also, something that a habit I picked up that I still do to this day, and Kim will tell you, is to go to sleep, I have to plug my ear with my bicep so that I can't hear the voices.
Yeah, he has to sleep on his right-hand side so he can use his left arm to cover his ear.
And I started doing that as a kid so I wouldn't have to hear him, and it worked. So that proved to me it was an external. But, you know, in the meantime, when I was 10 years old, over a period of about 2 weeks, I did attempt suicide 3 times because it had just gotten to a point where I wasn't sleeping, I wasn't eating, I thought I was going insane, I didn't know what the hell was happening. And it was from that, it was soon after that, that I've been told it was a spirit guide that came to me. But one particular spirit did show up and make his presence known, and it was just, didn't take long until all the other stuff quit happening, and it was just him around. So I took it as a good thing. I could deal better with just one spirit that I could see from time to time, as opposed to all these different things that were happening. So he actually, as a kid, I named him Red because of what I saw him wearing. And he wore this bright red coat and top hat. And at the time, I didn't even know what a top hat was. But I don't know. It helped me. I've been told he was my spirit guide, and that he basically answered my cry for help, I guess, with my suicide attempts. But after that, I decided I would no longer be a victim, and that the best way to arm myself was with information, and that's when the research began. I was about 10 years old, and I started having my mother take me to the library, to antique vintage bookshops, and I looked for every bit of information, even fiction stuff, because, you know, most fiction, there's a grain of truth to it. So I would read anything on the subject and then weigh its merits. And, yeah, that's what I've been doing all my life. And as far as the investigations, I had never been a part of a team. I mean, I had been there where we live. There are plenty of pseudo haunted houses and real haunted houses. And I had the fortune, misfortune of actually growing up in one of them, and right up the road was another. And that one was actually condemned. We called it the Sunroom House because it had a huge hole burnt through the ceiling from a fire. And it's since been renovated, and I really want to talk to them and see if anything goes on there, because we had some wild experiences in that house. But, yeah, that's where I began cutting my teeth, was sneaking out and going to that house, as dangerous as it was. Mm-hmm. And I was doing it years before I knew that there were other people doing it.
And here's something that I've actually, and Dennis might have a little bit of more understanding with his abilities also. When you were a kid, and obviously it didn't make sense to you as far as anything psychic or anything along those lines, it was just probably more confusion, I would assume. Was there a one defining moment that transferred you into actually having having authority over it, to where you could actually come to them or bring them in instead of them just coming to you constantly?
You know, I don't think I ever accurately understood the situation I was in, and I didn't know what a spirit guide was. Now, I researched and read and did as much as I could, but I was of the mind of just weighing the evidence and not actually, like I did a lot of occult studies and Satanism studies and things like that. And I caught a lot of crap for it. But just because one studies it doesn't mean one worships or believes it. So I had the same view with everything I read and learned. So I wasn't sure about spirit guides. I wasn't sure about reincarnation. I'm still not sure about most of this stuff, and I'm still gathering information. But overwhelmingly, I do believe in a spirit world. I have no question whatsoever. I have seen things... I have seen things that would make people's hair curl, and it just doesn't really faze me anymore. There is physical contacts that really bother me.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Red is your spirit guide. Can you choose when you talk to him, or does he choose when he contacts you? I mean, how does that work? Because I know... I've done some anywhere from 500 to 900 miles away. I've done a few readings myself, and I'm spot on, but I don't know exactly who I'm talking to. How do you know that this is the same person that's talking to you, and how do you know his name? And for those that are listening, when you first start developing this, How do you develop a communication, I guess, with your spirit guide versus just the spirits?
Yeah, well, like I said, I was just really had no idea. I was stumbling through, and the pivotal moment was one particular. Okay, right after I had attempted suicide for the third time, I actually wrote a series of stories, a blog about these events. And I had tried to strangle myself with a belt in the bathroom, and the belt broke. And it was a good, sturdy belt with a, you know, big steel buckle, and the buckle snapped after I had gone unconscious. But it was that night or the next night, all those voices were going on, and there was stuff shifting in my closet, and I could hear, you know, like some of the toys will go off, and that you can dismiss some of it, but some of them you can't dismiss, you know, because certain toys require certain actions to do things. But at any rate, all this stuff was happening, and this figure just kind of materialized out of the corner and walked up toward the bed and stood at the end of the bed. And Kim and I were able to sit down, and she does really wonderful graphics. And we gathered some pictures, and we made a representation of what he looked like. And when I saw him, he was wearing like a white pants and shirt with the frills in the front. And he had a top hat and a tails, like a, I don't know if it was velvet, but it was red. It was a red tails coat and like black boots. And he has black curly hair that hangs just below his shoulders, but no face. I've never seen a face. It just looks like he's a drawing that someone's taken his thumb and smudged his face out. And he stood at the end of my bed, and in just a couple of minutes, all those voices stopped and everything quit. And since then, it's just been like a sprinkling of activity.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go ahead?
Well, to answer your question with regard to calling on him, I think that he really hasn't very often, but we have had some experiences where he felt like he needed to. There was one night where there was a spirit in our previous apartment that was just being very malevolent.
Let me interject something real quick. When Kim and I moved in together 3.5 years ago, we moved into this apartment, and I told her, I said, be ready. Within a couple of months, the activity mm-hmm. will begin. And it was about 2 months to the day, and an almost full soda can knocked itself off the coffee table. And from there,
with no wind.
Yeah, I mean, no, it was no wind. The house was closed up. Everybody was in different rooms, and all of a sudden we heard this bang and went out there, and there's the soda can laying in the floor, and it was nowhere near an edge or anything. It's just one of those moments. And I said, well, here you go, it's starting. And from there on out, it went in cycles for about almost 3 years, just constantly either activity or none, then activity and then none. Three-month cycles.
Yeah, pretty consistent.
And we went and talked to the management of the apartment complex and found out they didn't know for sure because they couldn't find the police report, but there was a murder-suicide in our building or the one next to it. And they believed that the guy was a serial rapist, if not serial killer. And we actually found this after a couple of events that happened, and one of them is Kim's infamous event on the bed with one leg. I know there was two events that happened on the bed.
The first one, I was sitting on the end of the bed, and we were just sitting there talking. Literally, it was in the middle of the afternoon. We were talking daylight. We were not going to bed or anything. We were just sitting there talking in the afternoon. And behind my right shoulder, behind me, there was this horrible growl. I mean, for lack of term other than to say it was this guttural growl, and it happened twice. And it was so loud that Chris, who was about 3 feet away from me, could hear it. And I mean, the first time it sounded, I was like, I could actually feel the vibrations on my neck and in my ears.
I heard it in the mid-air just over her shoulder. There was no misplacing it. Oh, and I'll tell you, the apartments we lived in were soundproof. We really could never hear our neighbors. Seriously, in all the 3 years we lived there, I never had one complaint about one of our neighbors, except for the woman downstairs that would play her piano as loud as she could. That was the only thing we ever heard.
This was like literally so close I could feel the vibration.
It was so distinct. I could place it in the air just about a foot and a half behind her right shoulder,
mm-hmm.
and it made the same noise twice. The second time it did it, poor little Kim jumped about 3 feet in the air. landed on me like one of them cat in a cartoon, just meow. She stuck to me, but the growl that came out of just thin air was amazing, and I can actually do an impression of it because I heard it twice so distinctly.
It's scary.
I'll give you what it sounds like. That's pretty good. That was pretty much what it sounded
even
like.
Even a little louder than that, too.
Well, I didn't want to try.
It is the same filter.
And that was actual length of what you heard.
Yeah, that was about exactly
was
how long it was.
It was long. I mean, when it sounded, I just literally froze.
Yeah, the first time it did it, she locked up like a deer in headlights, and then about 4 or 5 seconds later, it did it again. And my gosh.
It scares me.
Something tells me my wife would wake up in a waterbed, and we didn't go to sleep in one.
Well, now, the other one is we were laying in bed getting ready to go to sleep, and it's one of them nights, and someone posted it on my wall today, a poster about it. But it's one of those nights where it's so hot, it's too hot with the blankets on and too cold with them off, but one leg out is just fine until the entity from Paranormal Activity grabs your ankle and drags you down the hallway.
Drags you under the bed.
Yeah, drags you down the
hallway.
Okay,
well, that's what happened to Kim. Only it didn't drag her off the bed, but it sure tried.
Yeah, it wasn't so like a
Well, thank God you were there to drag her back.
Yeah, if I hadn't been a part of it, I wouldn't believe it. So I don't blame doubters. You know, I really don't. But I was there. Something grabbed that little girl and tried to pull her. I mean, she's so small. Grabbed that little girl and tried to pull her off the end of the bed by one ankle. And it was her right ankle because her left leg was hanging limply. But I grabbed her under the arms and pulled back. And her entire body lifted off the bed about 4 inches and was about probably a good 4 or 5 count before she finally fell back to the bed.
It was a human tug of war.
That to me was, and we collapsed back into the headboard. That's how hard it was pulling. I actually pulled back and she lifted up and I couldn't make any headway.
And at that moment,
one of the most strongest paranormal encounters I have ever witnessed. No, I'm not possessed. I hope
not. At that moment, that's when you ripped up the lease, right?
No, actually, I dug it.
Actually, he called at that moment. Going back to what we were talking about, he actually called for Red, and it's probably one of the first times he's really called for him.
Well, Kim, you know, well, actually out loud said, "Hey, Red, we need your help." You know, Kim was like, "Maybe you should call Red." And I said, "Okay, well, I'll give it a shot." And I called Red, and I asked him for his assistance in keeping him out. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to do what we always tell families to do. And I got Kim, and we were like, okay, we're just going to tell it to get the hell out. You know, we're gonna set our energy toward this is our place. And we said, you know, if you intend us harm, you just need to go. You're not welcome here, and we're going to ensure that you can't come back. Don't come back. And it was pretty much the last we had of any kind of negative encounters.
Negative, as far as negative encounters, we had a couple of children spirits that were there.
I think it was actually a lady and her daughter.
A lady and her daughter and maybe another child.
And if it wasn't her daughter, it was a child that she was acting motherly toward. Because I'm going to tell you, I won't get too into it, but there was one time where Kim and I were being a fiancé couple. And right before we went to bed, there was a female laugh right beside our bed.
Yeah.
Like a little...
Three times.
So here we are thinking now we've got a spiritual audience. people debate fun at us on
the two of you play off. The two of you play off of each other so well. It's hilarious because one will stop and the other will start, and you're either sitting side by side or you're listening on the same headsets with like a 20-foot extension cord between you.
We have a wide jack.
It's hilarious.
Well, we actually are sitting together on the couch, and that's why we wanted to do the Skype thing, because if we're in separate rooms, it's harder for us to know when the other one's talking.
Yeah, it was that was kind of an issue, and also with the cross feed too, because I did the show with local newscaster Dolly McCarthy.
The whole thing was
echoed because my mic was picking her up on her phone, and her phone was picking up me on her mic. That was not good.
Now, Chris, I do have a serious question for you.
Yeah.
And then I will talk to Tim in just a moment, and I'm going to beg you to shut the hell up. Chris, how did you learn your spirit guide's name, and how do you communicate with him? Who initiates the contact, and can you call him at any time, or does he just come at his own free will?
He comes at his own. I have noticed there have been a couple of times in my life where when I was in dire need and he showed. I wrote one story in my blog about something that happened to me in Iraq when I was serving over there. And there was a moment where I was literally laying at death's door and there was no one to help me. And I was kind of lost in the desert trying to find the medics. And it was probably one of the first big daylight visitations of him. Now, granted, I was literally on death's door, and I wasn't extremely lucid, but I was lucid enough to finally find the aid station and get medevaced to an actual, MASH unit hospital. But he appeared to me and showed me the direction, showed me where to go. He kept pointing. And I couldn't see his face, but it was one of the first times I ever heard words, though, associated with him. And he kept saying, "You're going to die. You're going to die." And he kept pointing in a direction. And so I began to crawl and head that way. And, he showed up on his own. I don't know if I call for him subconsciously or if he's just, I don't know, he connected to me and knows when I need him. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's there was once, probably the most...
I named him Red because when I was a child and saw him for the first time, he was wearing a red tails coat and a red top hat. And that stood out to me. And I have this obsession for naming things. I named my motorcycle. I named my guitar. I named him Red just because that's what he was red. And that's what he's been ever since. I've never even considered.
Now, one time, a little over a year ago, we actually, when we went to the Montgomery House, and this isn't in the actual episode that we filmed there, Chris. You asked for Red, and so if you can relate what happened with that.
Yeah, we were on the Montgomery House investigation, and I actually say in the video, I've never heard your voice, but that's not true. I don't know if it was his voice, but I did hear a voice in Iraq that I associated with him. But in the video, I do say, I've never heard your voice. I'd like to hear from you. And this is a spirit box session, PSB 7. And nothing comes through. But we had plenty of other stuff that night that happened and a lot of great evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing from him. So, was it 3, 4, 5 months later?
3 months, August to October.
It was Halloween, and we were in Bellbrook, Ohio, for the Bellbrook Lockdown event we were doing. And we were in the Pinuit Hardware Store, which was this incredibly old hardware store. And it was, reported haunted to the rafters.
It wasn't grounded very well at all, so the electrical field was off the chain.
Oh, wait, actually, when we were in the museum during the day was when they were doing the spirit box session.
Oh, that's right.
And the spirit box went nuts, and it wouldn't. It was getting louder and louder and louder and louder, and it wouldn't quiet down,
yeah.
And they couldn't get it to cut off. So they took the batteries out, and they got it all back together and got it running again, and they set it on the floor right in front of me, and I wasn't participating too much in the investigation. I was just doing a live EVP playback, but I was just like recording everyone else and then listening to it. I was kind of just a bystander this time, but they set it down in front of me, and the first thing it said, it sat there for 10-15 seconds, and all of a sudden it says, "Chris." And then right after that it said, Red. Oh, yeah, because I said, just say red.
Yeah. Back
three months before, I had said, just say red. And in the museum there, it went, Chris, red.
We actually caught it on video, too. I caught it on video. I was taping it. And it's pretty clear. I mean, you can't just... And when it happened at the time, I was like, as soon as it said Chris, I was sitting there thinking, that's red. And then immediately it said red, and I was going, oh, crap.
is someone commenting that there are voices going on behind the interview?
Yeah,
I'm going to tell you, the first interview we ever did, we even heard them. There were voices. It sounded like a female talking the entire time we were being interviewed. And it's happened, geez.
Several times. That's what I've been
eight times since then it's happened when we've been on interviews.
Well, I have to ask, why are there still so many boxes unpacked behind you? I see the boxes behind you, and you're not unpacked yet. You're talking to me from an empty room, basically. I see stacks of boxes behind you.
There are boxes underneath that table that are your sheet music you haven't unpacked.
No, they can't see that, though. I don't see how
hello.
Can you see it?
What they didn't warn you is I do have abilities, and I do see boxes stacked behind you.
They're under the table there with the radio on it. It's all your sheet music.
Oh, we
piano.
Just moved into our house, this house, about 4 months ago, 3 months ago. So
there are a couple boxes. But we're largely
unpacked. Yeah, inside the house, we have some in the garage, really.
We have a huge mountain of boxes in the garage.
I moved everything from our storage unit in here about, 2 months ago?
But from where I see you, now let's think back a little bit of time. The room that I see you in, I see boxes behind you. I don't see right now, but I see history, and I get a picture that I see boxes stacked up behind you, and they're back there. I see one stands out in my mind. I see two columns of boxes, but I see one on the right-hand side. It's the second box up, and it really screams, pay attention to me. any logic in that, or...
It might be some of the boxes in our garage, or it could be from a storage building that we had.
Well, I mean, we have like a bunch of boxes in there, so I've been periodically.
You talk about history, though.
Did you think it's from the past or?
Real quick, he does this to me all the time.
Okay, so enlighten us, please.
Well, what I see are, I see two stacks of boxes. They're like four high, five high. I see one on the like bottom right, second stack up, and it just keeps saying there's something in here of importance that you want to bring out. I'm not sure what the hell it means. I will take a note on it, though.
If we ever figure it out, we'll let you know.
Well, I mean, there is some particular thing I am looking for that I have been looking for about a month now. So
I will be right back.
If I happen to find it in that particular box, I will let you know. I won't say what it is right now. But no, actually, I don't mind saying it. It's actually some paperwork that I'm needing. So... I don't know. I'll have to check that out.
Of course,
out.
He could have been talking about me finding all the crystals that we use to keep the ghosts out of this house.
Well,
I found them in a box.
What I see
in the storage building.
I think about your house. I guess you just moved into it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing August.
September, I think. Yeah, September.
Okay, August, September. Ooh. Well, I'm not bad then.
Yeah.
But I'm seeing a doorway on each side, and I'm seeing two stacks of boxes that are like four or five high. They're all matching boxes. And I'm seeing on the second box up on the right-hand side, something in there is screaming at me, hey, pay attention to me. So,
okay.
Look there. Now, I do have to ask, Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that you are writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
Well, or co-writer on a book. And, man, this thing has got me very, like, intrigued. Care to tell us about it? I know it's got a February release date, and looks like it's going to be a really good read. You want to tell our fans about it?
Just tell a little bit. Basically, it's called Secrets in the Shallows. And Chris actually did come up with a name for it because, you know, we needed to revise the name. But the basic thing is it's a murder mystery, but it has some paranormal twists to it. So we are I don't want to say too much about it because it is a murder mystery, but basically it is set up in Maine. It's in a monastery up there. And, you know, there are some murders, obviously, that take place. But it's going to be a trilogy. And I can't tell you too much about it because I'll give the whole
other
thing
than away. I'm helping, too.
Yeah, and Chris has been very vital in a lot of the consulting thing because he knows a lot about weapons and stuff like that.
And the legal system and
a lot of other stuff.
Investigations and all that stuff.
Can I cheat and tell the name of the book?
Yes, it's called Secrets in the Shallows.
The Monastery Murder Series.
Yeah, it's the Monastery Murder is a series, and it's Secret in the Shallows.
Okay.
Sounds like it's going to be fantastic. Oh, Chris is going to drop us some secrets?
I'm sorry?
Chris is going to drop us some secrets about the book?
Yeah, well, it is a murder. It's about a child, a young man being killed on his way home from school. And
yes.
Someone is accused of it, and it's someone you would never expect, but there's, you know, plenty of twists and turns along the way, and it's a sinister and dark story with a suspense and tingling twist.
There you go. Yeah.
And I actually have helped a lot with it.
Yes,
it's been a part of our lives for a while now.
Yeah,
I couldn't help but be a part of it.
We've been working on it for a year now, so it's coming to the end. We're doing the final read through. And it should be released the end of February. I don't have the exact date yet, but it is scheduled to be released ebook at that time.
I've been writing a book too, but I put mine on hold because one of our computers ate itself, and I've had to sacrifice my computer so that she can finish her project, and then I can get back to finishing Wolfgang.
Yeah,
which is my werewolf series that I've started.
I can feel the love. Now, speaking of werewolves.
Dennis.
Yes, sir.
I actually, we've been talking, or I know everybody's kind of been talking with Rob and Chet. We actually have him on the line calling in. I guess he's getting some kind of some stuff, too. I'm going to be the odd man out on this one because I have no abilities other than psychology degree. So I can help you with your, you know, the brain that's in your head, not the one with the third eye kind of stuff. If you want to chat with him real quick.
All right. Well, let's hold him off for just a moment. Rob, don't hang out or don't leave us. But I'll tell you what. Chris and Kim.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really intrigues me with Chris talking about, you know, you put your computer aside for Kim to do the final, I guess, on hers.
Yeah, they're under the crutch.
That's love, man.
Right.
I gotta say it. Now we've had the paranormal, now we got the love. Oh, it's a good show.
you see why I love doing this?
I will say, but, I will admit, he has been extremely patient because I have been working some excessively hard hours, long hours, trying to get this done by the end of the month, and I'm trying to get it done by this weekend, basically. And so he has been very good and
sacrificing my computer
and
to the cause.
I'm selfish with the computer, yes. So.
So for all of us that are like myself, that are sitting on the edge of the seat, that, you know, our butts are going numb, Kim, can you give us a release date? Getting released?
It should be by the last week in February. I cannot say a specific...
Isn't that the e-publication date?
Yeah, that's the e-publication. Now, for the... We do not have a release date yet for the paperback, but the ebook will be available at the end of February. So once we get the ebook date, we probably will have the other one as well.
Can I tell them about one character?
Yeah.
Since I helped so much with the story, they went ahead and renamed a character in my honor. Deputy Williams. When you read it, Deputy Williams is kind of a pale version of me.
Let's stroke his ego.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Deputy Williams is Chris.
Well, his first name is Chris,
and,
Chris, so Christopher Williams. So.
And if you haven't figured out, yes, I'm the asshole of the show. I am the bad cop, and CPR Matt there is the good cop.
Yeah.
It really sounds like an interesting program. So, Rob, what do you have to tell us? You seem to be reading some things in the background as well. Feel free to join us right now and tell us what you see in the background.
Yeah, Dennis, I got to bring him in first. You got to let me know, okay?
Well, that was why I babbled so long. I thought we had this worked out.
Can
you hear me now?
Through the background.
Yes,
he
can hear you.
Can you hear? Okay, goody.
He even asked me in chat. So,
actually,
Rob, you are live now.
Okay, good.
I apologize,
that was still rude. that's fine. I don't know who said that. I think it was Marie who said that she started hearing voices, and I think it was Chris's background. I don't know if this is true, but I have a feeling you and Kim probably either have a portal or you moved into a house that has spirits. And this is what we do. We actually help spirits cross into the light. And now I'm not Diane. I bow down to her. She's awesome. She can do things remotely, blah, 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 over the phone. And one of these days when I get my flying car, we're going to take a nice little air trip to see all of our friends. And, you know, it'll just be a blast. And but I don't know if it was her or Nikki. But somebody was mentioning the voices. And there was a whole conversation going on at once.
I think it was Nikki that was hearing it from when I was watching the chat, from what I was seeing.
Yeah. I think Trinity, who is Trinity? Is that
Trinity and Maria.
Maria, I think Maria did too.
Okay. Yeah.
It was the both of them.
Yeah. They both did.
In the library with the candlestick.
Now, like Chris said, you know, we have had that happen many times before. We've actually had up to, I think, 3 or 4 spirits talking behind us several times. So it's not abnormal.
They're trying to be heard.
And we have moved, so...
And it's still going to follow us. I told you that.
Yeah.
It follows me everywhere I go.
Yeah, Chris has been haunted all his life, like he said, so... they are drawn to him.
And you guys are paranormal investigators, too. I mean, it's not like, you know, I don't think you're in any danger. I don't feel it's negative. You need to say, hey, listen, we're on the show. We'll communicate later. You need to set your ground. You need to set your ground and say, hey, listen, I'm the new owner of this place. You know, my name's Kim, and this is my fiance, Chris. And, you know, you are in our territory, but we still love you, and we will put, he is the portal, Marie just said. And you guys need to set your ground, and, you know, it's just amazing how, and I think the reason why they're doing this is because they know that you two can communicate to them. And we're actually, what Diane was saying earlier, we're actually going on a break from being just a human being to being a spiritual being. And I think that, the more we get more in tune with the spiritual world, the higher and vibrations our vibrations get, the closer they're going to get to us. And it's going to be amazing. And Maria is saying, Chris is psychic. He has the ability to talk to them. We're all psychic. That's the whole body of life and its mediumship. Mm-hmm. You know, to be able to communicate with your loved ones, it's kind of like a blessing because, you know, they come to me in my dreams. I've been having these strange dreams that are so lifelike. When I take a nap, you know, I turned one time and I told this to Diane. I told this, I don't know if I told this to Maria or Nikki. I dreamed I went to the spirit world and I came back and I couldn't talk for 5 minutes. I was so numb. And it was the most beautiful thing ever. And my guys are preparing me for the next evolution, as I call it. I call them evolution. I'm actually going to say what you guys use for it, but there you go.
Well, I have a bit of a theory as to why it's like this with me, and I want to run it by you and get your thoughts, everybody's.
Sure.
When I was born, I died at birth. I was tangled in the umbilical cord, and it cut off the blood flow. And so I was put into the ICU and the incubator and all that. And I have done research into this phenomena with children and the indigo children and psychic children and children that's, you know, that television show that was on. It's what got me all started on some of this stuff. But my theory is when I died at birth, I went and pierced the veil, but I was brought back. And when I came back, it left like a little conduit still open. And that they can see me better than I can see them, because I don't see them any different than normal, regular people.
Unless they reveal themselves.
Unless they reveal themselves. But just like everyone else, you know, I see the glass move or the books fall off the shelf or a flying shadow. You know, I'm the same way, but I just seem to draw more of it. I can't live anywhere more than 2 months, and then it starts.
Yeah.
Yeah, they find you just like that.
Well, guys, if I can actually interject on that really quick, Chris, it's actually amazing that you should bring that up, because the whole time that we've been the whole time we started talking about this, I've done a lot of stuff and a lot of case studies and everything, working in psychology, that people that have had your effect, and it was kind of one of those chalk it up to an out-of-body experience things before I actually started really getting into the paranormal. And I was actually going to ask you, before you were 5 years old, if you've ever had a near-death experience or if you died for a short amount of time, because that is it's medically proven that these things can happen to people in those situations. Whether or not it's accepted by the medical community, no, it's not, because it is parascience. It's a level of science, but it's not actual science. So even before I was able to ask the question, because the conversation has been going so damn good, you answered it for me, and that kind of just, you know, proved more validation and credibility to that theory.
Well, I have to say that the
simple fact that he said that once he pierced the veil, now our friend Dane Ladway just put out a book, Piercing the Veil of Darkness. It's amazing. I mean, Dane's book and what he sees and perceives as a quote unquote non ability person is just amazing to me. The fact that you hit on once you pierce the veil. That was your exact words.
Well, that's part of my gift.
Mm-hmm. He's an empath.
Well,
I don't know what my abilities are.
But it just amazes me that you hit those exact words, and that's what he named his book.
I do that all the time.
I mean, it is amazing what you can see when you can see it from their eyes. And the simple fact that you can see things from their eyes and get information from that side that we don't even know what the hell that side really is at this point. I mean,
but we're learning. I'm actually beginning to develop theories.
Yeah, we are learning.
Yeah, we are.
We are. Yeah, we work. We sit there, and sometimes we'll actually talk for
an entire night,
4 or 5 hours. I mean, about stuff and to come up with ideas. We've come up with ideas based on wavelengths, brain waves, and also, you know, even with regard to when say somebody dies. It's forcing extra oxygen to your brain.
Yeah, I was going to say that about the child.
In order to save the brain.
Usually children that die at birth.
Right.
The brain, the body floods the brain with oxygen to try to keep it alive.
Right.
And it actually, I read this in a medical journal where it actually causes the brain to grow at an accelerated rate for a short time. And so that could actually be the cause of some of these psychic abilities in children that have had near-death experiences.
So I think it basically opens up some neural pathways that are not
open
accessed previously, you know, to that.
Right, because we're also looking into that connection with autism and synesthetism because we think I might be partially autistic because I can't stand to be touched. I can't stand all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, what about mental retardation? Does that have anything to do with it?
Probably.
That's
well, not with him, but.
No, I'm
Yeah, for some reason, when I called you guys earlier, I instantly saw the word soulmate between the two of you, and I didn't know you were engaged until that was pretty cool. You investigate together, stays together. The whole thing about this is when we were starting to learn this, Maria is just making out that her how to pronounce that?
Asperger's?
Yeah.
Asperger's syndrome.
Yeah.
Me in medical terms, I don't even know how to pronounce that for them. But the what we're learning, and this is what took me, what 2012 was about. 2012 was the door. And now we're in 2013, watch what's going to happen. Yeah, he's very gifted. I've been probably gifted since birth because I saw, and I don't remember, but I remember being told by my mom that I've had talked, you know, I had, what is it called, the invisible person, or what it could have been my guides. Because when we are babies, we are still connected to spirit. And as we evolve from that state, we kind of lose connection. And I think what's going to happen with the next generations or two, maybe this coming generation, you know, they're going to stay connected to the spirit world. It's going to become a much more beautiful place. That's why it's like heaven on earth. And watch what's going to happen. Boom. I'm just willing to bet you that's what's going to happen.
See,
I'll tell you what. You know, there's such thing as the, I'm going to get a little bit politically incorrect, but
that's
I think
okay.
The rat's ass. I'm not going for office. There's gaydar, where you look at a dude and you go, oh, yeah, he's gay. He just doesn't.
He might as well be on fire. He's so flaming.
Yeah. There's
that just went politically way incorrect.
Trust me to do it.
Hi, guys.
Well, I don't give a shit.
Hi.
My name's Michael. But
Hi, my name's David.
There's also a sensitivity to read others that are sensitive. And you look at them and you go, you know what? They actually see something that nobody else sees. Go ahead, Kim. I know you got something strong to say about it.
Gotta say something.
Sorry, I was just gonna say that he is an empath. So
we think.
No, well.
Well, she's pretty sure.
I'm positive of it.
I remain ever skeptical.
But go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chris, you can remain ever skeptical, my friend, but I can take you to a location. If you choose to travel to the Richmond, Virginia area, I will watch the hair stand up on the back of your neck, and I will know right then that you can channel and you can sense. So no matter how bad you want to say that I'm ever skeptical, trust me, when your ass puckers from this location, I will laugh hysterically and go, yep, you met him, didn't you?
Well, let me clarify. I believe in a great many things, but I always try to keep my skeptical mind, but keep it open. I don't discount anything, but I don't accept anything that's just handed to me. We have to ask the questions. Otherwise, it's not science.
Well,
I do have moments where I can do things that I cannot explain. I can pull computer passwords out of Kim's head.
Yeah, he's pulled twice, and they weren't like normal.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, it was, and this is like after.
And this is right after I met her.
Yeah, this was not very far after he had met me, so it's not like he had known me for a long time, and so it was kind of freaky. And then
Oh, I should tell him about the Trivial Pursuit night when I finally realized something wasn't right.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
You know what we should do? And I know Maria would like to do this because she's pretty good too. We need to get Maria and Diane on the show one time, and we got a couple other mediums too. And we need to do like kind of like class, like online, like a little mini class, and how to use your abilities, because we could do that. That would be interesting to see you guys. You know, how well you guys perform, and especially Kim, because Kim, I know you have the ability, and it'll be fun.
Rob actually did post in chat about that, and Kim, I'm actually a little unclear on this myself. Do you have any abilities, or is basically everything that's done or noticed done through research and just being with Chris?
Well, a lot has been through Chris. I mean, that's a good portion of it. And I think even before Chris came into my life, I would have dreams, and I would have some things that would happen. I get gut. There's just some really strong gut feelings that I get. They make me nauseous sometimes when something's getting ready to happen. But it's not something that I can necessarily say, this is what it's for, but it's like it's so distinct that when for instance, I was on my way into work one day, and on my way in, I felt so sick to my stomach, and I wasn't actually physically sick, it was just something coming from my spirit, and I was on my way into work, and when I got to work, I found out that the day before, we had lost two of our major clients, which was 60% of our business. So, I mean, I found out 30 minutes after that I've had those type of things happen most of my adult life. I wouldn't say that's happened all the time. I've also had some very unusual dreams that warn me of things. So I wouldn't say that it's the same type of thing that Chris has, but it's, you know, it is something, but it's just different.
I want to say for the record, I don't ever claim to be psychic. Kim wrote a bio for us, and she put that I had psychic abilities in it, and I may, but I don't know how to use them. I can't control them. I've not been schooled in it. I wasn't aware that I had any extra abilities. I just knew that I was somehow like a – I always thought of myself as like a candle in the dark to ghosts or spirits,
mm-hmm.
that for some reason they see me and flock to me. But other than that, it wasn't until I was actually playing Trivial Pursuit with someone and they started, it wound up that we didn't even roll the dice anymore. They just picked up the cards and started reading me the questions, and I would close my eyes and answer every question. And I don't know how I did it. And we did it for like 3 hours.
Well, I hate to say it, but that's kind of what. Well, I got chucked into the psychic pool one night. You know, when you were like preteen and they chucked your ass into the deep end of the pool and went, you'll either sink or you'll swim and God be with you. Well, that's pretty much what happened to me. I went out and shot pool one Sunday night. I had gone up to Gordonsville, about an hour and a half north of here. I met with David and Tracy, and I wore my paranormal investigator hat up. Well, I went to pool that night. I came home just in time to, like, bug out, grab my shit, go to shoot pool. The barmaid looked at me and goes, oh, paranormal investigator, huh? Can you read people? I went, not so much. But next thing I know, I'm over at the table trying to shoot pool, and I just keep hearing this voice whisper in my ear. And it's feeding me all kinds of information. And finally, I walked back over to her. I went over to close out my tab, and I went, okay, well, and I start rattling off all this shit. And my wife's looking at me like I've lost my mind. This girl's looking at me like I've just grown a, like, third eye or whatever out of my forehead. And I went, so that's what I get. What's my tab? She looked at me when I got done and went, I'll tell you what. From everything that you just rattled off, you're 99% right, including the baby daddy name that I wasn't even sure of, but I knew it started with the initial that you gave me. Holy shit, how long have you been doing this? Went, I don't know, how long did it take me to rattle this shit off? About 2 minutes? I'm walking across the parking lot and I'm shaking. I then had to call Tracy Ray and go, okay, I realized that we just met today, and you know, David Roundtree is on speakerphone, and I can hear him in the background laughing. And he's like, so you figured it out, didn't you? No, and I don't know what the hell I just did, but I think I just peed myself a little bit.
Yikes.
I mean, I got Tracy Ray, who is one of the renowned psychics, and, I mean, her abilities are beyond question. I've got David Roundtree on speakerphone, and I've just admitted that I just had my first reading and nailed it. And I don't know whether I should pee myself more out of happiness or just being dumbfounded. But once
how was the reading?
What?
How was the reading?
99.9%.
Hey.
And I'd never met that woman in my life. I had no clue about her. I didn't even know. I still woke up the next morning and did not know her name. I had never seen her in my life, but I nailed everything about her. So, Paul, does it hit you overnight? Yeah, it can.
Yeah, Dennis, another story that you should tell, and this is, I think, a lot more interesting, or it's yours is interesting as hell in that situation, but the one that you did about what Audrey showed you from you being home and me in Richmond, Virginia, me being in Chicago, that blew my damn mind. That one, like, just, you know what I'm talking about with the car, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's That one absolutely blew my mind because he was in Richmond, Virginia. He doesn't know, or didn't up until recently, but at this time, no way at all, had ever even spoke to Mark that started CPR with me. And I'll let you finish that one up.
Well, I get a phone call from Matt. All right, so tell me what the hell you can see. I went, okay, well, here's what I see. I see you showing up in a purple car. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, who the hell shows up in a purple car?
My Jeep is yellow, you know, which isn't really any better, but still, we weren't in my car.
I would drive a purple car.
Me too. Mike, a plum.
Well, especially plum if it car. Said Murcielago on it.
Hey. Leave Mark alone. And yes, it would have been better if we showed up in a Murcielago.
But then he's like, I'll tell you what, if you can tell me what make the car was, I'll shit myself. So, by the way, Matt, you still owe me shitting yourself. I told him I saw him pulling up in a Chrysler, and I'm seeing a neon. And I went, Matt, please tell me you are not the passenger in the neon, because I see you getting out on ditch side, which means you were the passenger. And it is, what was it, Matt?
All right, it's a Plum PT Cruiser, where we were parked was we pulled out. This was an urban legend, you know, Help Road. Every city in the country basically has one, where there was a guy and a girl that, you know, were on the way to prom, or they were riding a motorcycle down the road, and there was a tragic wreck, and in last ditch effort, they crawled up and rode help, or one of them crawled up and rode help in their own blood in the road, and no matter how much they repave it, it still comes back. Well, that was the urban legend that we investigated, and it, like, turned out to be true that there was a woman's body found out there in 1986, and we have 167 page police report about the actual events. Anyway, but so that night we were out there, and it was the first, the image that he saw was the first night that we were out there. And he has actually talked to the spirit of the girl that was out there, and the only reason I know is because Dennis doesn't know a damn thing about this, but he nails every second and every little minute detail. Well, we pulled up in a purple PT Cruiser, parked on the shoulder of the road. I was in the passenger seat, and he was even more in-depth that night because he said it was probably about 15 minutes or whatever before we got out of the car, and because we were getting our equipment together and everything else. And I got out on the ditch side, but he also actually pointed out how far off of the curve in the road that we were, which he didn't know anything about the curve. He didn't know anything about the location and the distance to the sign that we were parked away from. And I hadn't told him anything about it.
Cool.
That blew my damn mind.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
I didn't poo. I'm sorry, Dennis, but I guess I owe you one of those, but
you do know the PT Cruiser is pretty much the same car as the Neon. It's just a different body on the same car chassis.
Well,
exactly.
What you were seeing was the illuminated headlights, so that's why you said neon.
Same headlights.
And that's what I picked up on. All it showed me was the headlights. And the earlier models, they were identical. So that was what I saw. Now, I have to do this, and it really sucks. And, God, I hate doing this every night. We have 6 minutes left. So.
Where's the time going?
I know, right?
Have you all had a good time?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, blast. I did want to mention one more thing before we wrap.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again sometime.
Well, we got to
that was what I was going to throw out. You have to have your last couple of minutes, and, you know, Kim, Chris, throw out whatever you want to plug. I know you folks are going, and I'm so pissed that I can't join you. You are going to Morrison Lodge.
Oh, yeah.
In April.
Mm-hmm.
I am so pissed that I did not get my VIP invite. So tell us real quick about Morrison Lodge.
Well, actually, we were invited, because
we're going to be guest tour guides, yes, and speaker type deal.
With Para Adventures, we're going to be some tour guides. So she's wanting to get a bunch of the tour guides together and go up there for a trip. So we're kind of going to get our own little, you know, individual time first, and then eventually we'll be going with other people as well. So.
And we're also going to Waverly this year.
Yeah, we're planning on going to Waverly in August.
Oh, that's
going to
be a lot of fun.
Come on. Oh, no, wait a minute.
Last year we got to go to Stanley.
Yeah, we were with one of the last. I don't know if they're still doing it.
No.
They said that they weren't going to allow investigations after our team went through. So.
Ours was the last paranormal convention that was allowed there. The one we went
Unless
to.
They've so, changed their thing since then.
I was told I wasn't allowed to drop the bomb about Waverly.
Well, he
okay.
went ahead.
I didn't
what?
Know.
I wasn't sure about the date or anything.
Well, we're not going to say anything about the date. I just said we're going to Waverly.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're fine on
Waverly. You did
plug
you
guys going to Waverly.
So, Morrison Lodge is in April.
Yes.
And even though we don't even have a abstract thought about Waverly Hills or someplace named, you know, Beverly Wills or anything like that. That might be in August, right?
Yeah, Waverly should
yeah.
be. It's going to be in August. Yeah.
He was giving you a pseudonym.
Yes.
No, it's Beverly Hills.
Are you
not
with
Waverly Hills.
Say Beverly Hills because I have just started my acting career back up a couple months ago, and I just got cast as an assassin in a feature-length film, and I start filming next Thursday.
That reminds me of that. That's awesome.
hey, real quick, I hate to cut everybody off, but
I have to drink for that one.
Real quick, go ahead and plug everything on air. We can still keep talking. It just goes into archive, but so everybody can hear. You got 2 minutes and 41 seconds.
All right, make sure you're watching True TV April 1st at 10 o'clock. Look for me with the General Lee.
But as far as our paranormal stuff, if you go to our blog is what lies beyond the number 4, the letter U, .blogspot.com. And you can also find us on Facebook at what lies beyond the number 4, the letter U, and also at Research Institute of the Paranormal on Facebook as well. You can also find What Lies Beyond for You as a channel on YouTube. And we do have an episode of our show, What Lies Beyond, on there. We are in the process.
Have a couple more.
We're actually in the process of doing a couple more episodes. One is the Paranormal Roundtable that we happened to film at the Stanley when we were.
Oh, you're
going to
love that.
And we have
Booth
Brothers in it. We have Scotty Rourke.
Natalie Poole.
We have
a bunch of people.
You know, a bunch of people in there. So.
Deb and Nick Lance.
Mm-hmm. And so we had a great time. It was like the best Paranormal Unity project I could think could happen.
It was
awesome.
Incredible to be a part of.
So we're going to be having that out hopefully when. What, in the next month or so?
Yeah, the next month or
so.
I need some graphics.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that the book slowed things down a little bit. So
it stopped everything.
Yeah, with the only one computer. So anyway, that slowed a few things down. But we'll be getting it out soon.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's going to be a big year for RIP. We got a lot going on.
Yeah, I definitely can't wait for it. I mean, it's I can't wait for the book. I mean, a lot of things. We got 1 minute left, so I want to say thank you, Dennis. I want to say thank you, Brittany. Thank you, Chris and Kim. Thank you, Diane. Thank you, Rob. It's been a great show. We always run out of time. Like I said, we can keep talking.
Wait
for
next
week.
And we didn't
even
scratch the surface. Next time we can present you with a whole bunch of our theories.
Mm-hmm. You know what? You know what? I actually want to have you guys back on. It'll be sometime soon. Maybe not next, or you know, maybe in 2 weeks if you have time. And I'll and
week
we'll
after
have the
next.
Well, we'll
week
have
after
the full,
next.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Well, I got 18 seconds. We'll have the full 2 hours if you guys want it.
Okay, that'd be great.
Awesome.
So,
can you book it? Week after next.
Yeah, I think.
What date is
what's
it?
What's the date of it?
I don't know.
February stuff.
2 weeks.
Well, now we're in record, so now we can just basically be
2 weeks from now.
February 13th.
I don't want to, because my schedule for filming that movie is a day here, 2 days there, a day here, so I have to look at the dates and see. But we'd love to.
Yeah, I think it'll be fine because I don't think you'll be filming this late at night. But but let me just double check our schedule real, you know, like by tomorrow, and I should be able to.
I'm playing an assassin. I could be filming anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Like now.
Okay, February 13th in 2 weeks. You're not filming on the 13th.
Yes,
right?
I am.
You are.
Yes, I am.
All right. So it'd be the 20th
assassins
or the
27th. Work at night.
Like, yeah, I know the 20th we've already got one, or the
well, I
29th,
could probably I'll probably be
okay.
Home. We'll go ahead and schedule it, and if I'm not home, you run it until I get here.
Okay, that'll be fine. We can,
do
okay,
it.
We can do it in 2 weeks, and then if you know he's late, he's late. So
yeah, no, and we'll
worth waiting for.
We'll give you. I mean, we definitely need to touch more on a lot more stuff. It's just. With all the bullshit that happened, I do apologize for that.
Hey, I was glad I was able to help, and if you guys need any help, give me a ring.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
So I'll be glad to lend a hand. So we help out with our noble teams. It's about unity. It's about connecting. And
absolutely.
Cam and Chris, wait until next week, because it's going to be a blast, even though I'm going to be there in spirit. So
okay.
It's going to be a blast next
week. Which one of you is up in Richmond?
That's Dennis.
That would be
That's
me.
Dennis.
That's Dennis.
Okay, I love Richmond. It's an awesome place.
Sweetheart, I'll tell you what. If you choose to come to Richmond, if you get the chance to, by all means, Kim, make sure that you hook up with me. And, girl, I'll take you to some places that will curl your hair.
Sounds like fun.
We're only 6 hours away.
We can make that happen.
We're only 5 or 6 hours away. It's not that far. Now, have you ever been to the Confederate White House and done an investigation there?
Well, I just started my team here, so everything is kind of, you know, my main focus is on people.
Uh-huh.
Their houses and... You know, little Johnny doesn't want to sleep in his room.
Okay.
Let's help them.
Basically Chris's whole early life.
That's pretty much what we do, too.
Yeah, that's what we do. And, like, you know, we say it all the time. We never charge for investigation or assistance.
Cases where children are top priority.
Absolutely. Because that was who I was. And that's why I do this, is to help children. The other stuff is for the show. We never show our families on the show.
Right.
And we do investigations of historic places for the show.
Mm-hmm.
We don't mix the two. It's not good.
But because of Chris's background, that's something that is, you know, something important to us is helping kids.
Well, the CPR East, which is what I do, I'm the lead investigator for the CPR East team.
Mm-hmm.
We just did one Saturday night that the family has issues in their house. They hear noises. The son had a buddy that stayed overnight. Said he woke up and saw somebody looking over him.
Wow. I've seen that a thousand times.
Wow. This is the first time that boy has.
Well, I'm sure.
And he hasn't stayed back there in 3 months. And his sister didn't even feel comfortable walking back into the house after knowing this.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the investigation that we did. It was a private residence. I would rather do a private residence than, you know, I've got the Edgar Allan Poe home here. I've got Drury's Bluff. I've got, you know, shit, probably 50 of the Civil War battlefields that are now marked as historical sites. But I would much rather do, and I mean, we drove an hour and a half to get to this house. I'd rather do that than drive 10 minutes to go do a known historical site. I know
exactly
shit there, but I would rather go help somebody that doesn't like their own house.
Right.
I mean, that's what it's about. You
right.
go to help people.
Look at TV. TV ruined it. You know, they're going to go east to help these places, you know, ghost hunters. I loved it when they went to these, you know, these people's homes. And
they don't do that anymore.
Now they're doing these things these places. Now it's all made up.
Yeah, we like helping people as well.
But we love the we're both history buffs, so when we get a location like that, we love the research and the history, and it actually
we need to get to Gettysburg. That'll be fun.
That's
one
of my life goals is to investigate Gettysburg.
I love to go to Gettysburg. I told Diane, if I actually get back home to Ohio, we're going to go to Gettysburg. I'm going to pick you guys up. We're going to go to Gettysburg. And
we utilize known historical locations just to keep our team intact and do team building exercises.
Yeah.
But I would much rather do, you know, the Jones family has an issue in their house. Bobby doesn't feel comfortable sleeping in his room. Why? Let's go figure that out.
Or for example, Kim sees ghosts and she needs help. That's another prime example right there. And Chris can't, you know, Chris has tried everything he can, and now Kim needs a call on the scene.
I know I'm not going to get rich and famous from this.
It's not about the money. It's not about the money.
But,
well, same here.
But if I can help little Johnny sleep in his own damn room again, then I've served my purpose. And
that's more precious than gold.
Yeah, that's what I would much rather do.
Right.
Well, that and my whole team, is backed around that exact thought.
Damn, Dennis, you're just you're blabbermouth tonight. No, but it's medium.
Well,
mostly,
why
not.
In the hell are you interrupting me? I'm trying to talk here.
See, like,
by the way, I am only the co-host.
Now, who is the host? Because I thought the host was Dennis.
No, that would be me.
That is the host.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I started it with Sarah Labrie. When she still lived in the States, she moved to Mexico now. So that's
why
it comes up. That's why the main thing comes up weird on the actual post. But anyway, the whole reason that I started CPR was because of a residential home. And Dennis is working with another team, and same name as you guys, actually, prefix-wise, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And it ended up to where it was more focused on the you know, popular locations, the show more, and they still do a ton of residential stuff, but the main investigations they were getting were, like, doing
they
it
wanted
for
notoriety.
Publicity reasons. Yeah, publicity reasons. So, but Dennis still, he had the heart, you know, of residential, and so did I. And when it actually came down to it, there was it was a pinnacle moment, I guess, in both of our switches, to where a bunch of stuff started to be created while a bunch of stuff was on not downfall, but just a different focus. And I ended up doing a event with RIP out of Richmond, and great guy. I love him to death. Don't get me wrong. I'm not, you know, I'm not knocking anybody by any means at all, but it just wasn't his thing. So that's why it doesn't really make much sense that he's Chicagoland Paranormal Researchers East, but I wasn't expecting to take on a satellite team. And when I met him down in Richmond, and him and his wife and everybody else down there, we just, you know, we all hit it off great. And it, you know, it is what it is at that time. Well, I, you know, I was so just blown away by his abilities, not as a psychic, but as an investigator, that as soon as the opportunity presented itself, I hopped on it. I mean, there was no questions asked. Like, it was, dude, you know what? Run with it. Create your team. I mean, how many police officers do you have on your team? Which,
well, I have 5 members on my team. 3 are, well, local police and federal police.
Wow.
And as we all know, police officers do not, like, that's not their wiring.
Right.
They're wired for physical, this is what it is, I can see it, I can touch it, I can, you know, experience it.
Right.
This, that, and the other.
They see everything. I mean, they get called into everything. The alarm system sounded, this, the that. They're in buildings in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
I have,
so they see a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, they see a lot of things, but they also don't see a lot of things.
Right.
What you and I and Chris see, Kim, they don't see. They are not psychic. They will tell you right up front that I don't have any abilities at all. But I know that when an alarm sounds, I have to go there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've been to multiple locations around Richmond that motion alarms have gone off that indicates a burglar, and they go in and they do a full sweep. Every door, every room, every nook and cranny, they search, and there's no excuse.
Mm-hmm.
The officers that I have on my team have had doors slammed in their face. Bless you. They've had doors slammed behind them. They've got footsteps that follow them that there's nobody with. Well, you can't dismiss those things, but you also can't put them in a police report. I went into such and such school, and there was nobody there, but the door slammed shut and then slammed open. And, you know, how retarded would they look on a police report with that?
Mm-hmm.
So I built my team around nothing but professionals. And one is a federal police officer. I mean, he's done, God, the access that he can get me into as far as locations is phenomenal. But
no,
it doesn't help anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right. Have you ridden the police car?
Have I?
Yeah.
He hasn't ridden in the front seat.
Oh, okay.
No, that's a lie. That is a lie. I wear a thin blue line survival bracelet on my right wrist. I have for several years. My father was also an officer, so I've been in front and back seats of police cars from the time that I was like 15. I mean, it was kind of cool. I got clocked at 130 mile an hour on my bike when I was 19, and I had to pay the fine to the officer behind the Catholic school, and I had to hand him a beer, and we had to sit back there and shoot the shit. At that time, I rode a 900 Ninja. Matthew, this is your line of work.
Yes.
That was, like, tweaked and perked. I rolled from a 55, 45, 35 zone, like, within two blocks. It went from 55 to 35.
Wow.
I blew in at 138 mile an hour.
Oh, my God.
I saw the lights. Then I didn't see the lights, and I went, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I done pissed one of them off. I knew where to go. So I drove behind the Catholic High School in the middle of town, kicked my bike up on its center riser, got my backpack on. I'm sitting there drinking a beer. About 5 minutes later, I got a cop pulls up beside me.
We have to go. We got a thunderstorm starting to kick up here, so we need to get off the computer.
Okay. Well, I will be on. If nothing else, I'll be on in 2 weeks, but I'm sure I'll be in contact with you before then. But we did enjoy it.
Yeah, so, I
y'all have a great night.
Yeah, we definitely loved having you guys. Thank you so much. And yeah, I mean, next time we'll have the you guys will have the full 2 hours. So
okay, sounds great.
All right, well,
and I'll try to shut up.
Nice meeting you, Kim.
Nice meeting you too. Hope
y'all
have a good
later.
Okay,
you guys as well.
You be safe. Bye now.
I'm gonna have to do this, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, and thank you. I hope you can join us next week too. And
definitely, Diane will be on, so she'll let me know. So yeah, definitely. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great to know you guys. So you guys have a good week. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Sorry, I already saw the score. So
yeah.
Hey, Rob, thanks for all your help. All
right, anytime. Talk to you guys later.
All right, Rob, have a good night.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye now.
All right, bye. And that is the show. So anybody listening in archive, join us next week when Diane will be back on. And she'll have a lot more time, and it will be after her investigation, which I don't know, Dennis. I think that's going to be pretty ridiculous if there's any way that we can figure out to broadcast anything that she gets. I'm going to work on that this week. I'll talk with Kevin and see if we can figure out a way to get audio in on it to where it's not just played over the phone. Like I can actually, she can send me a clip and I can broadcast it, because that would just be ridiculous.
Well, I will say this as a psychic. What she was saying that she heard and what the fans were saying that they heard, I heard a good bit of it. But, man, I would really love to see what they actually have to say. You know, all the talk in the background, wow, it's amazing the energies that we drew tonight. Matt, I got to tell you, I think we had a great show.
We always have a great show. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I think tonight was kind of off the charts. But, hey, brother, it was nice talking to you, and I'm going to disconnect now. But,
you going to bed?
Well, we always have to do our post-show conversation.
Yes.
So, no. Call me.
Yeah, see, that's usually how it works for everybody that's listening to our archive. Dennis and I talk for 2 hours on the radio program, and then we talk for about another 2 to 3 hours afterwards. So,
a little
behind the scenes for you, but everybody, have a good night. We love you all. We appreciate the support and everything. Thank you, Brittany, for taking time. I hope you're not falling off any stages right now. Thank you, Diane, Chris, Kim, Rob, everybody. It means a lot to us that everybody could join us tonight.
Awesome show. Thank you, guys.
Yes. Good night, everybody, and we will see you next week.